الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وإمام المتقين محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Beloved Muslims, dear brothers and sisters, after the month of Ramadan we find ourselves before a crossroad. We are to choose between two ways: a way of believing that the season of worship has ended, has finished, and the other way is the way of believing that the season of worship never ever finishes, never ever finishes until one's soul departs from his body or her body. We are between two ways: a way of being a part-time Muslim or a full-time Muslim, believing that this deen is deen of some rituals and seasons, spiritual seasons that are finished, or believing that Islam is a deen, a way of life, a creed, something that encompasses every aspect of our life. And I'm confident that we all will wisely choose to follow the path of servitude, because it is the path of the prophets, the path of Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, and Muhammad alayhim salawatullahi wa salam. Dear brothers and sisters, once we have determined that we are going to follow the path of servitude, the first question that arises in the mind of people is, how can I please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What are my priorities? From where should I start? And the answer is very simple, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, he has spent his life explaining this to us, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. Today I have completed for you your deen and perfected my bounty upon you and accepted Islam as your deen, as your way of life. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا تَرَكْتُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ يُقَرِّبُكُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ وَمَا تَرَكْتُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ يُبَاعِدُكُمْ عَنِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنِ. I did not leave out any matter which brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I commanded you to do it. And I never left out anything that takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I have forbidden you from doing it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified this for us. And the program of worship is already established for us, so we don't need to feel confused or need to seek, a guidance from here and there. Rather, we go to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and this is recorded by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim from the narration of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, ما تقرب إلي عبدي بشيء أحب إلي مما افترضته عليه. That my servant does not draw closer to me by something that is dearer to me than that which I have enjoined upon him. So the starting point is the obligations, the major commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is it from where we start. So if we have a dollar of zakah and a dollar of charity, the dearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from these $2 is the one that we pay in zakah, because this comes first. Nothing take precedence over the commandments of Allah, the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are to pray two rak'ah of fajr or two rak'ah nafil, voluntary prayer, the two rak'ah of fajr are dearer, far greater, dearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the two rak'ah of nafil, the voluntary prayer. It doesn't make sense for someone to wake up for suhoor and eat the premium dawn and does not fast. So we start from the major obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The obligations such as those ones that are mentioned in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar that was recorded by Bukhari and Muslim, that all of us know. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بُنِيَ الْإِسْلَامُ عَلَىٰ خَمْسٍ شَهَادَةِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيْتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ وَحَجِّ الْبَيْتِ وَصَوْمِ رَمَضَانِ. That Islam was built upon five, that's five pillars. شَهَادَةِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, bearing witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Muhammad sallallahu, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger, and establishing prayer, paying the zakah, and hajj, performing pilgrimage to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fasting the month of Ramadan. Now these are obligations that are known to every one of us. If you pick up a student from the elementary school and ask him what are the pillars of Islam, he will tell you this. But they are very, very important. So important for our well-being in this life and the life to come, that I firmly believe, dear brothers and sisters, that whatever problems we see nowadays in the Muslim world, whatever suffering, whatever degradation, whatever humiliation that we see, whatever division, whatever deterioration in the character of the Muslims, they are resulted because of certain flaws in these basics. Whether flaws in our understanding for these basics or implementation of these basics. And the simple truth is that we are not yielding the fruits of these basic obligations. And this is a sign that there is something wrong. This is a red flag. When we don't enjoy, when we don't enjoy the fruits of these basic obligations, this means there is a problem. Because these basic obligations are meant to serve a purpose. They are revealed by Al-Alim Al-Hakim, the all-knowing, the all-wise subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are meant to purify our souls and to refine our characters and to make us better servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thus better servants to all humanity. Because our Islam is not limited to one area or to one ethnicity or one language or one background. Rather, it is universal. It is for everybody. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, addressing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةٍ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We did not send you but a mercy for all the worlds. So when we cease to witness the fruits of the ibadah, we know that there is a flaw somewhere. And it's either in our understanding of this ibadah or in our practice for this ibadah. Today, dear brothers and sisters, I've elected to talk about one of these obligations. That is Faridatul Hajj, because of two reasons. Number one, because this is the time. Hajj is unlike other obligations. It requires planning. because it involves financial commitment. It requires saving. It requires certain arrangements. So talking about Hajj does not come one day before Eid al-Adha. Rather, we have to plan for this and we have to be ready for this. And those among us who did not perform Hajj and they are able to do so, it is the time for them to find the best way to go, inshaAllah, to join one of these groups and go to Hajj. And the second reason is that even though, as all of you know, Muslims here in this country are better off than other Muslims, but it's amazing how we find that the Muslims, they delay this obligation. The fact that it is a life up, once upon life, it is one time obligation in a lifetime, is not a grounds for delaying this obligation. Rather, we should rush and hurry in order to perform this obligation while we are young, while we are healthy, while we can do so before something come up and prevent us from doing so. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أراد منكم الحج فليتعجل فقد يمرض المريض وتضل الضالة وتعرض الحاجة. Whoever intends among you to perform Hajj, let him hurry, let him hasten, because circumstances may arise that prevent the person from performing this obligation. So what, since this is an obligation, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَلِي الْعَالَمِينَ. Performing pilgrimage to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an obligation that is due to Allah upon people, upon those of people who can and have the ability to do so. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ, and this includes a severe warning, and whoever disbelieves, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَلِي الْعَالَمِينَ. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stand in need of none. Allah is free of all wants, free of all needs. Allah does not benefit from our worship. We are the ones who benefit from our worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need this worship. We are the one who need this worship. And therefore, if one of us wants, is able to do this obligation, one should hasten. Hasten before something come up and prevent the person from going to Hajj. Here comes the role of shaitan. Not in this tone that is coming out, but in whispering to our ears, through our ears, that come on, performing the Hajj is going to consume 50% of your savings or 75% of your savings. It is a major obligation. You can perform Hajj, but not this year. Shaitan will not tell you not to perform Hajj, by the way. But he will come to you and tell you, perform this Hajj, but not this year. And if he succeeds every year to convince you to perform the Hajj, but not this year, you'll never perform Hajj. Dear brothers and sisters, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in order for us to be immune from the whisper of the shaitan, and in order to correct a misconception that is in the mind of people, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَدِيمُ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ فَإِنَّهُمَا يَنْفِيَانِ الْفَقْرَ وَالذُّنُوبِ. Perform Hajj and Umrah frequently, because they remove poverty and sins. Remove poverty. So as a matter of fact, if you seek to be rich, and I'm talking in the materialistic sense, you perform Hajj sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and see that never would anybody perform Hajj and come poorer than him before going to Hajj. This is a fact, dear brothers. I have witnessed this in my life, and I'm sure you did. So it is a cause for more sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and more importantly is the richness of the heart, is the purity and the purification that one gains when perform Hajj, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it cleanses the sins, it wipes away the sins, it washes the person. And we need this purification because we sin day and night, and we need the forgiveness of Allah and His pleasure. As a matter of fact, this is our ultimate goal. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Dear brothers and sisters, since we are talking about Hajj, let us live with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم for a few moments and listen to these virtues that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned about this great fariḍah of al-Hajj. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "وَأَمَّا خُرُوجُكَ مِنْ بَيْتِكَ تَأْمُ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامَ فَإِنَّ لَكَ بِكُلِّ وَطْأَةٍ تَطَأُهَا دَابَّتُكَ يَكْتُبُ اللَّهُ لَكَ بِهَا حَسَنَةً وَيَمْحُو اللَّهُ عَنْكَ بِهَا خَطِيئَةً." As for your setting out from your home seeking the sacred house, al-Bayt al-Haram, riding your animal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ride for you for every step that your animal takes, one reward, and will wipe away from you one sin. So the farther you are coming from, the more reward they are involved in al-Hajj. And please, brothers and sisters, please turn off yourselves. Jazakumullahu khair. Turn off yourselves. Even if somebody call you, you'll not be able in a position to answer them. So please turn them off. Jazakumullahu khairan. And also another note regarding the cells, and that is to try our best to change the tone of our cells so that it is not a rock and roll music or something that is not harmonious with the nature of the masjid and the purpose of the masjid. Imagine, I was one time burying a person and everybody is crying, weeping, and I was reminded the people of death, and all of a sudden we have a rock and roll music that's breaking, and it put the person in embarrassing situation. And I don't mean to put anybody on spot, because it happens with me, even though I don't have the rock and roll music, but it happens. We forget, we are humans, and this is why we need to remind one another so that we be able to focus on the purpose of the khutbah, which is فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. This is the purpose of the khutbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that when you hear the call for salat prayer, rush to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to be cut off from the outward. The outward word is taking all of our time. At least when we are in the masjid, we need to focus. And the purpose of this cell phone is to connect you with your business 24/7. And this is a competition for me, because my duty and my mission, inshaAllah, is to try to convince you to be connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7. So it is a competition. If you see me little upset, because the competition is winning. Okay, dear brothers, we go back to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you'll have with the every step one reward of your dab, of your animal. And don't you worry. Because some people say we don't ride animals nowadays for Hajj, so we may not have the reward of going to Hajj. And this is of course not true, and you know it's not true, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was addressing people with a language that they understand. And if he were to tell them that you'll have with every aeronautical mile, okay, such and such reward, they will not understand. If you'll say you'll have with every RPM one reward, they will not understand. And therefore we have to understand this part of the hadith is signifying a specific amount of reward that is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will give for everybody who is seeking, inshallah, setting out from his home seeking to perform Hajj in Al-Bayt Al-Haram. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues and he says, وَأَمَّا وُقُوفُكَ بِعَرَفَةَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَنْزِلُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا يُبَاهِي بِهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ يقول هؤلاء عبادي جاءوني شعثا غبرا يرجون رحمتي ويخافون عذابي ولم يروني فكيف لو رأوني. As for your stand on the plain of Arafah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend to the first heaven during Arafah. How does he descend? We don't know, but we say descend because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he descends, and Rasulullah knows what he is talking about. But we believe that he descends in a manner that befits his greatness, his majesty, and his magnificence, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a manner that is does not resemble our acts or our descent. يُبَاهِي بِهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ boasting before the angels about his servants, saying, these are my servants, they are coming to me disheveled, dusty, hoping for my mercy and fearing my punishment, and they did not even see me. Imagine what would their position be had they seen me. Of course they would be more humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, فَلَوْ كَانَ عَلَيْكَ مِثْلُ عَالِجٍ مِثْلُ رَمْلِ عَالِجٍ أَوْ مِثْلُ أَيَّامِ السَّمَاءِ أَوْ مِثْلُ قَطْرِ السَّمَاءِ مِثْلُ أَيَّامِ الدُّنْيَا أَوْ مِثْلُ قَطْرِ السَّمَاءِ ذُنُوبًا غَسَلَهَا اللَّهُ. Rasulullah tells us that Allah says that if one of them, one of the servants who are standing on Arafah, has as many as the sands of the desert, or the number of the days of this life, or as many as the water droplets that come with the rain, sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wash it away from them. وَأَمَّا رَجْمُكَ الْجَمَرَاتِ فَإِنَّهُ مَدْخُرٌ لَكَ. As for your stoning of the jamra, it is indeed a reward that Allah will save for you on the day of judgment. وَأَمَّا حَلْقُكَ رَأْسَكَ فَإِنَّ لَكَ بِكُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ تَسْقُطُ حَسَنًا. As for your shaving of your hair, of your head, you will have with the every hair that drops a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, our brothers who are bald need not to worry, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write this down for them and will convert, you see, whatever in for them into hasanat insha'Allah, regardless whether they have hair or not. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Deeds are but by intentions. So Allah will write the reward for the person according to the intention. And finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَإِذَا طَافَ بِالْبَيْتِ خَرَجَ مِنْ ذُنُوبِهِ كَيَوْمَ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمَّهُ. And once you make tawaf around the house, you will come out from your sins as the newly born infant. And we need that. You need that. So when you come back, you come like a newly born infant. But you don't need to, I mean, still, inshallah, this represents a status of purity that all of us should seek, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to perform Hajj this year. And again, this is the time. Now, for those of you who intend to make Hajj, inshallah, the intention and the plan is to have a Hajj workshop in the mid of December, inshallah. For more specific, inshallah, we'll make an announcement at the appropriate time. Wa jazakumullahu khayran wa aqimus salam.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حيا على الصلاة حيا على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استووا ولا تختلفوا فتختلف قلوبكم أقيموا صفوفكم straighten the lines, come close to one another, fill in the gaps, fill the first line first. Sisters, please straighten your lines, come close to each other and fill in the gaps.